Blog Talk Radio.
Think Out Loud, the Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.
And now it's time to think out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane along with Maris as we welcome you to episode 256 of the Tony Lane Show. And of course, reminding you as always to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/Tony Lane Show, which is the destination to hear the show live. And of course, as always, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play so that as new episodes are published, they will, like magic, appear on the device of your choice. On a day after Alistair Overeem got knocked the fuck out.
Let me tell you, all those fights were good last night.
You actually liked the show, because I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard people who said they weren't too pleased with it.
What? I mean, some fights were real standouts, like the whatchamacallit, the tough coaches fight. Was it Guthrie and Alvarez? What a fucking fight, man! What a fight! Like, if both Grimbone and I watched it, and we both had it even right until the point that Alvarez knocked Guthrie out. Like, that's how good that fight was.
And it almost went to the...
I think they only had 30 seconds left or something like that.
Looks a minute. Like, was it a minute?
Exact.
A minute and 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, it was... What a fight.
Wow.
Fight before that, earlier in the card, there were two fights of the night last night. Like, as far as just, like, violent back and forth, like, I mean, there were some damn good fights on that card. I was very pleased with that card.
Now the main event was featherweight championship, Max Holloway defeating Jose Aldo.
Oh, great fight.
That one ends in TKO. But this Nugano, Francis Nugano, he just destroyed Alistair Overeem. I mean,
that dude's huge. I mean, Alistair Overeem's big too, but oof.
Heavyweights, they can knock each other out so easily. I guess that's why it's like whoever the heavyweight champion is, they never really hold their title long because it's so easy to get beat.
You got to have a hell of a chin.
Tell me about it. Those guys, they throw some bumps. Now, Overeem... who, of course, is a former Strikeforce heavyweight champion in his own right, but
he's also a K-1 champion and a Pride champion.
Wasn't he, like, juicing before? Or
that's why his nickname was Uberim.
Okay.
So if you hear me, sometimes I'll say Uberim, and you'll know who I'm chatting about. Because he would come in 20 pounds more than he did at the weigh-in. He came in at 247 at the weigh-in. When he was juicing, he would come in around like 263 to 265.
And he's not Ubering because he was driving people around to wherever they want to go.
No.
He's not like an Uber driver.
No, that not that Uber.
But he I guess he's off the stuff now. And
absolutely. I think he got caught.
Smaller.
Yeah, I think he got caught. And, you know, they've made the testing a lot more strict. So now it's, you know, now it's harder for them, you know, to continue to do it and not get caught. And that's him off the juice. He's a littler fella.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm not saying that he doesn't have skill. By all means, he has more than enough skill that anyone could ever need. But you can see that it did put 20 pounds on him. He was, you know, he was a big boy.
I mean, it's tough anyway with the heavyweights, as we mentioned. Because these are big guys, and they hit really, really hard. And it's, like, not hard to get knocked out. Because even in, like, boxing, the heavyweights is usually the division where you would have the most knockouts.
Oh, yeah. They throw bombs. But Ngannou is, from what I understand, known for having the single most powerful power punch that has ever been, like, scientifically tested on the planet.
Even more powerful than, because I remember Foreman had a really strong punch where it was like 2,000 or 3,000 pounds behind his punch.
Yes, this is as of now. And Ngannou's the hardest punching guy in the world.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not like he didn't take a punch. Like, Overeem got hit.
Oh, I saw that. I mean, it looked like he knocked his head out. I mean, of course,
yeah.
You know, they go do all the memes and stuff on social media and stuff, and I saw the one where Ngannou hits him and Overeem's head just literally pops off his body.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
I mean, that dude can hit. He hits hard. Oof. I would not want to be hit by him. Getting hit by him would probably kill you or me.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Indeed. He'd probably have to register his fists as lethal weapons. Like,
yes.
Some of the boxers and the martial artists did have to do that back in the
yes.
day.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was no joke.
Nope.
I mean, that was a clean knockout. Like, there was
it
no
was.
Doubt about it. He fell down like an oak tree in the forest.
Uh-huh.
It was just complete, you know. You can't dispute
devastation.
That. Right. That's one of those knockouts that you can't say, oh, well, it was a bad stoppage. Or,
yeah, no, none of
no,
that
was,
at all. That
was done.
There were quite a few very clean, you know, judges don't need to get involved fights last night.
Yes. Overall, very competitive thing. Now, did you watch the whole thing with the fight pass and
yep,
the prelims
everything.
And all that stuff? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
was
a long night, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a big, like, we make like a day of it type thing because we're into UFC.
Right.
So we get the early prelims, the fight pass, if they have free prelims on Fox or something, we watch those and then we watch the pay-per-view.
Now, they, you know, we talk about how, like, WWE goes overboard with the big four. They do a lot when they, you know, if you look at everything from the fight pass.
I believe it's 7 hours worth of just fights.
Wow.
7 or 8 hours worth of fights. Sometimes it's even longer, depending. Like, if it's, like, a big, like, landmark pay-per-view, like 100, 200, no lie, I think it was at least 8 to 9 hours straight of just Facebook prelims, Twitter prelims, Fight Pass prelims, the online only prelims, then this prelim, then you have the Fox, what they're showing on Fox, then you have the main event. It's like the prelims to the main events and the main, it's like, holy shit.
Wow. The only crazy thing, though, is you have to keep going from one source to another to keep watching the fights. Like, they should have one continuous place
well, that's,
to go.
that's kind of the good thing with Fight Pass now is they kind of do show it a bit. Like, you kind of don't really need to go everywhere. So, and a lot of times now they're on FS1. I don't think they've really, only the real, real big ones will you see, like the Twitter ones, the Facebook ones. Like, they blast it all over the place.
Right. The prelims for 218 were Fox Sports 1, it looks like. But
yeah,
they, and I forgot it was on, so I didn't even see the prelim. Normally, that's normally my destination, the free stuff.
I'll
and
tell you
once
what.
Once they had the pay-per-view, then I'm like, oh, okay.
The people that got to see the prelims, the Oliveira-Medros fight, oh, man, they kicked the crap out of each other. You want to talk about, like, that was my fight of the night before I saw the Alvarez-Gaethje fight.
And they both looks like got fight of the night honors.
Oh, good. They did. No lie. Like, that fight in the prelims was my fight of the night going into the main card. It was like, that fight was that good that, like, the whole main card had to top that. And Alvarez and Gaethje were right up there. That it such great, great battles they were.
Yeah. It looks like they had two co-fights of the night.
They deserve it.
No performance of the night was awarded.
That's fine. Because you know what? All four of those guys deserved it.
So that's cool. So another UFC event in the books. That one in Detroit. Is Detroit a good fight town? I know
well,
they're not a good football town.
Well, here's the sad thing that I saw. And, you know, UFC could avoid this easily. But there were a lot of empty seats in there. And you know what? You know Detroit is hurting. You know people can't find jobs out there. You can lower the prices of your tickets.
They still made a $2 million gate, it looks like.
Well, that's all well and good, but there were still empty seats.
Maybe they could have done an Impact Wrestling thing and pay people $50 to come fill out.
Oh, I don't think they would have needed to pay anybody. But that'd be nice. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people that are hard hit out there. And it was sad to see all those the empty seats, because it's like, you know what? You could have lowered your ticket price. You know there's people struggling out there.
Yeah, or do an old WCW routine where WCW used to let them in free. But they would wait till the day of the event of Nitro.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine. The seats still would have been filled.
Yeah, this is true. But then you would know that that's the key. Wait until day of the show and then get in free.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm just saying for, like, cities that are really hard hit, like, let's face it, Detroit is not doing so good economically wise, and, like, how the people live out there and things like that. It's like, you know, you can throw them a bone.
They could. I mean, I know the Lions could have been thrown a couple earlier today as they got beat by the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
It looks like Stafford got hurt too. Like his hand was injured. They had to take him out.
Uh oh.
Backup quarterback, his first time ever throwing a pass in the NFL, and it's pick six. I mean, welcome to the NFL, right?
Welcome to the NFL. Enjoy your stay.
Exactly. It's like, I guess you can't get any worse than that. You know, throw a pick six on your first throw in the NFL. You know, it's got to go up from there. I mean, can't get any worse.
Yeah.
So UFC 218 in the books. 219, they head back to Vegas, T-Mobile Arena.
Vegas,
of course,
baby.
That will be headlined by Chris Cyborg and Holly Holm, as we had discussed previously. And so that's shaping up to be a pretty good card as well. That's coming up the end of the month. So just before New Year's Eve, too. I mean, see, doing cards that close to the holiday like that, to me, is not a smart move. I mean, I don't know. I guess everybody is all souped up and ready for New Year's Eve, and are they really going to be that into a fight?
I mean, that's also the time when a lot of people look for stuff to do.
True. And I mean, I guess, you know, we get, like, on Thanksgiving, you get all the NFL games, and now Christmas is a day that usually you get a lot of NBA stuff now,
mm-hmm.
over the past several years. And remember back in the day, the holidays were, like, big for wrestling.
Oh, huge.
You know, you go back to the 70s and 80s, and I guess even to the early 90s, like real early 90s, though. Thanksgiving and Christmas were big for wrestling.
I remember many Thanksgivings watching a wrestling pay-per-view.
Survivor Series originally was on Thanksgiving night.
Yes, it was.
You know, Starcade was big Thanksgiving night. World Class used to do a show right on Christmas.
They did.
Called Wrestling Star Wars. That was, like, one of their biggest shows of the year. I think it was their biggest show of the year.
I think it was, too. But, like, that was – listen, they would have it at the perfect time because, like, you're done doing everything. You know, why not watch some wrestling? Give you something to do. Enjoy it.
This year, because wrestling falls on a Monday, WWE, well, actually USA is forcing them to do a live Raw, where normally they would pre-record it over the weekend and then play the taped show on Christmas. But USA basically said, fuck that, we want a live show, so they have to do a live show.
That sucks, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, they used to do it before, you know, before Christmas was a thing. But there was actually some backlash when that was first announced several months ago on social media, of course, because everybody's got an opinion on social media, of course. Always saying something like, it's a shame they got to work on Christmas. And it's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, so what? They used to always have to work on Christmas.
The privileged people.
Yeah. So Monday Night Raw will be live Christmas Day, and I guess New Year's as well, because that's a Monday as well. So no little break for the WWE performers this year.
Nope. Doesn't that suck?
Now, I remember a couple of years ago, they did do, like, something on things, but I think it was taped, though. Now that I think about it, I believe it was a taped show. But it was one of those stupid holiday shows where they really do meaningless matches and...
And then they have the stars on in those little clips that said, oh, we're wishing you a happy holiday season.
And they had the women, which were then still divas, wrestling in like some Santa's helper match or some stupid shit, where they had to all wear like Santa costumes or you know, like sexy Santa costumes, you know, it wasn't. exactly.
Yeah, it's like when you gotta go like that, it's like just stop.
Yeah.
Just please stop.
Right. I'd rather us not have a show at all, or at least have a tape show than have some garbage like that. But
mm-hmm.
we'll see. We'll see what they produce. Now, of course, all in the news this week, firing of all of these guys, including the Today Show's Matt Lauer, because of these inappropriate behavior allegations that have been levied across the board there. This thing's really, like, exploded, in particular in the entertainment business, politics as well, even though it seems that there's no repercussions in politics, at least not as of yet. But at least in the entertainment business,
the fallout's huge.
Yeah. These guys are dropping like flies. Which makes me, I mean, I obviously it's wrong. You know. And as I say, I didn't hit something. Do you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought my elbow just hit something.
Don't you hate that? It's these cramped quarters with all these all the buttons and everything. It's like you move wrong and like something pops and it is what it is.
I mean, you know, I'm not condoning anything these guys do. Obviously, it's wrong. No means no. You know, all that good stuff. But some of these stories are a bit much. I mean, not all of them. I mean, some of them are legit. Yeah. How did these guys get away with this shit? You know?
Like, my whole thing is like, some people are going to say stuff. Whatever. Talk your shit. Whatever. I don't care. But you put your hands on me, there's an issue. Or you try to corner me or something like that, then we definitely have an issue. But, like, people that are complaining, oh, well, he said this to me and blah, blah, blah. Okay, and you can walk away.
I mean, and then some of the time, I mean, like, one in particular that I really thought was absurd was woman who said Dustin Hoffman had said a lot of inappropriate things when they were on the set of a movie back in 1985. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
32 goddamn years ago. And you're talking about he said something inappropriate 32 years ago on the set of a movie. Why didn't you say something then?
Exactly.
Like, really? Like, stuff like that, to me, is just absurd.
It's, it's just, all right, you know, like I said, people are going to say stuff. Grow up, get over it. It's just words. If you can't handle that or your skin's not thick enough, then you may want to rethink, you know, what you're doing, especially if you have to deal with those people all the time. And, you know, don't be afraid to speak up, obviously. Tell them you don't want it, you want to do it or them to do that to you. If they continue to do it, you know, you go to your boss. But still, it's like if they're putting your hands on you, it's a different thing. Like, I like, oh, well, and he raped me. And it's like, well, did you?
Yeah, we're not condoning that behavior at all. I mean,
yeah, no. It's like nobody should be putting their hands on you.
Right.
Nobody should be, like, boxing you in like, a corner or, you know, anything like that. That's a no-no.
But, you know, somebody claiming that you spoke, you know, explicitly 32 years ago, I mean, that's a bit much, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like I said, they're just words. Don't pay attention. Simple as that.
Right. And then, you know, the guys all have to come out and make the fake apology and all that. And it's a mess. So,
it is.
So we'll see where everything goes from here. But I just wonder, when does it move from the entertainment business and politics and stuff to like, the real world? Because you know that's coming.
Oh, yeah, that is coming.
And we all have been in different work environments. And you know what goes on. I mean, I remember I didn't work at the place, but I knew people that worked at this restaurant. Everybody was fucking everybody. The whole restaurant. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I've known places like that, and it's like, Jesus.
And, you know, I was friends with a couple of people that worked there, but I knew, you know, the maitre d' was messing with the hostess, and the waitress was messing with the guy in the kitchen. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Everybody... all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so damn trashy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's very typical, though. You see that quite often in a lot of establishments. So I'm wondering, like, when is it going to be totally snuffed out altogether? I don't think you can ever snuff it out altogether.
I don't think you can either, but, you know, you can make sure people realize that they shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, I think they already know that, but they still.
Well, yeah, but to bring it out more and kind of bring it in the forefront and see all these people get in trouble or, you know, if somebody goes to jail for it, things like that, that'll make you think twice.
And it's a two-way street. I mean, one of the most explicit conversations I ever heard at work was with a bunch of females, and they were the ones saying the dirty stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
A lot worse than anything that the guys ever said, in my opinion.
Oh, hell yeah. Come on now.
So, I mean, it goes both ways, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Now, in the same respect, I also feel kind of bad for you guys, because if you're going to try to hit on a girl, well, now you don't know what the hell she's going to think. Is she going to cry foul on you?
Exactly.
Or like, what's going to happen? And, you know, that puts you in a bad position. And, you know what, the same goes for girls, too. You want to go hit on a guy, it's like, well, what is this person going to think about? Now I have to watch what I'm going to say and how I'm going to approach them. It's like, you know, then you start thinking, then by the time you're done mulling it over in your head, it's like, it's not even worth my time.
And a lot of times, it's, you know, you might only want to compliment somebody. Like, let's say someone, you like the outfit they're wearing, and you say that. If you say the wrong thing, you end up in HR because you said somebody had a nice dress on. Like, really?
Yep.
And it could be innocent. You could simply be saying, oh, yeah, she had a nice dress on. And then she twists it. You know,
yep.
Oh, he was looking at my ass because my dress was like, what? You know, I just said you had a nice dress. Like, what? You know. And then you're in trouble, you know. So that's why it's really, they're getting it to the point where it's really, you almost can't even look at anybody or say anything to anybody.
That's true. Yeah.
But I mean, I learned my lesson a long time ago where I have very strict thing where I don't date individuals in the workplace.
Yeah.
So.
Amen to that.
You know.
That's trouble right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And so I learned from experience, and I was, like, very strict. And I can proudly say for at least the last 12 years, I have not dated a soul that I've worked with.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah. Not that I didn't in the past.
Well, yeah.
But I learned my lesson.
Well, that's the thing. You learn your lesson. Once you do it once or twice, you learn your lesson.
Right. So, it is a mess, and we will see. I wonder who's going to replace Matt Lauer on the Today Show.
I have no idea.
Like, it's going to be a lot of open positions all over the place.
Oh, yeah, there is. Get your resumes ready.
Exactly.
There's going to be all sorts of stuff opening up.
So, I'm wondering, will it spread to like WWE? Because you know how many, like, relationships have been going there. I can't imagine everything's been peachy creamy.
That's true. I can't imagine everybody's been treated been nice to everyone either.
Right.
So, you know. It's probably just a matter of time.
Yeah. And that'll just be like a PR nightmare, I'm sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's such a big deal to them.
Yes, it is. It's a their PR is a huge deal.
Yeah. So, speaking of WWE, the Clash of Champions pay-per-view coming up in just a couple of weeks, live on the WWE Network. And main event, we'll see the WWE Champion AJ Styles defend his title against Jinder Mahal. Now, they've also added three other championship matches via social media and the WWE Network app. They have added the three additional tag team or three additional championship matches, I'm sorry, including the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, which will be decided in a triple threat match. It's a champions, the Usos, defend against the former champions, the New Day, as well as Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Another triple threat for the United States Championship is the champion Baron Corbin will defend against Dolph Ziggler and the glorious one himself, Bobby Roode. And a SmackDown Women's Championship rematch between Charlotte Flair and Natalya. So far, the four championship matches have been announced. And I would assume that's all of the title matches, since it's a SmackDown exclusive show. Those are all the SmackDown belts. So I guess
there's
not any more belt or championship match.
Yeah, I can't imagine them doing anything unless they want to throw some type of swerve, but we'd know that closer.
I can't say I'm too excited about too many of these matches. I mean, maybe Usos and New Day have been really good.
They have been good lately.
Throwing Gable and Benjamin into the mix, you know, I guess it can't hurt because both of them are fantastic workers, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Can't say I'm too excited about AJ and Jinder Mahal, despite how good AJ is. I mean, it's Jinder Mahal, for goodness sake. And just never totally bought into Jinder Mahal as the champion.
Nah, I never did either.
They did it too fast. They should have given him a slow ascension to the title. Even if nobody's saying it had to be like a whole year or anything like that, but even if they would have waited until like now for Jinder Mahal to win the title and had been pushing him as a legit main eventer from when they started the push back in April or whenever the hell it was, and they waited till now for him to actually win the belt, it would be a little more acceptable than him going from a complete jobber to being the world champion in like 3 weeks or however long it took.
Yeah, it was, I didn't like that at all. He was never over with me. It's just like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, as far as the United States Championship goes, Baron Corbin, he's another one I'm not really sold on. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Not really sold on him. I do like Roode. I would like for them to push Roode better than what they've done since he's been on the roster.
I can agree to that.
And then throwing Ziggler in there. I mean, obviously Ziggler and Roode have been working a program for several months already. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Roode walk out with a U.S. title, personally. I think it would be more beneficial to him than, I mean, Ziggler is like a done deal. Like, do you think anybody really believes in Dolph Ziggler anymore?
I like to be the optimist and always hope that they'll give him another title run. Because he is a good worker, and he's been around for a long time.
He is, and he has.
I just think, you know, I'm one of those people. He's deserving. He's always deserving at this point.
He's been pushed down so much. Does he have any credibility at all left?
No, not at all.
So, I mean, I think he's one of those people that's beyond rehabilitation. Like, they've soiled his brand so bad. Can't really do anything to make him a convincing champion of any sort.
Yeah.
Because he's lost so much for so long, it's almost like...
It's almost a joke.
Right. Right, so I would just say it's a done deal. I mean, to me, Dolph Ziggler would be better suited actually even leaving WWE. Like, if he did a Cody Rhodes and maybe went out and worked the Indies or Ring of Honor or New Japan or something where he can get a fresh start and rebuild himself, because under the WWE banner, they've already destroyed whatever he had.
That's true. That's a shame.
Yeah. And they've done it to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot of people.
We could do an episode on just that list.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens at Night of Champions coming up in just a few short weeks on the WWE Network. Also, it appears that the litigation between WWE and Anthem, the owners of Impact Wrestling, is over. In terms of the broken Matt Hardy gimmick, as you saw Matt seemingly transform into the broken Matt character on Monday Night Raw this past week. So apparently Anthem has decided to no longer pursue legal action, and Matt Hardy and WWE are free to move on.
Didn't Matt Hardy come up with that to begin with?
He did.
So, technically, it's actually his.
But they tried to say, since he came up with it on their program... And
that it's their property,
it's their property. So, one of those weird things. Kind of like how, like, the comic book characters would be, like, if you worked for Marvel or whatever, and you created a character, like, Marvel owned it, even though you created it.
Yeah. Like Venom was created by Todd McFarlane, who is the creator of Spawn.
Right, but Marvel owns it.
Correct. Well, actually, Venom and Carnage. But, yeah, Marvel owns it. Todd McFarlane doesn't.
Right. And, I mean, so I guess it was something very similar, you know, so it was probably in the contract and stuff. But it should be interesting because... Aside from the massive push that the Hardy Boys got when they made their surprise return at WrestleMania this past year, they haven't really done much with Matt.
No, they haven't.
Especially once Jeff got hurt and Matt is now pretty much singles. They haven't really done anything with him.
Yeah, I figured it was just a matter of time before they went to that program. The broken Matt Hardy program, because like that worked so well for them before. It's like you at least I know I was hooked on it.
Oh, it was so entertaining. It was actually one of the few things that was really good on Impact Wrestling.
They just did such a good job, and it got people into it. And like, just think of the videos they were posting on YouTube.
Oh yeah, I mean it was so over the top.
It's like tons of people tuned into those. Like, that made you want to watch what was going on with TNA.
Right.
So it's like it's going to be the same thing, and it's popular then. It's only going to get more popular now.
Oh, and now it'll be on that huge WWE
platform. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it'll be able to really get some eyes on it, whereas on Impact Wrestling – you know, you don't really have that big audience, and lot of people...
Granted,
like,
the videos did kind of go a bit viral, so there was other people that got tuned in, but once they went away from it, obviously those people were no longer interested.
Right, and there are a lot of people who've never seen Impact Wrestling or TNA or, you know, whatever the hell you want to call it. And they have no idea where the Hardys have been over the past 9 years or whatever.
True.
Or where Kurt Angle's been, or you know, where Samoa Joe or AJ Styles or
That's true.
Bobby Roode or any of those guys who were in TNA, where they came from. or even Mickey James. I mean, look at how they, when Mickey James came back, they acted like Mickey James was not wrestling for the last, you know, 7-8 years, however long she was gone. And she was a 3-time TNA Women's Champion. But they just, and to some people, that was probably the case because they don't watch TNA. Like, they have no idea that there's anything outside of WWE. Like, there
which
is
a shame.
Right, there's a big group of people like that who they're strictly casual WWE fans. They only watch Raw and SmackDown. They don't even watch NXT. Like, there's a lot of them that, like, when those girls came out with Paige, they had no idea who those fucking girls were because they never watched NXT. Mm. And, you know, they're the hardcores, they watch everything. But there are a lot of people who don't.
That's true. That really is true.
You know, and from what I understand, on the 13th of December this month, a day after a great day, 12/12, which happens to be my date of birth.
Oh, happy birthday.
A wonderful day, 12/12.
That's the one of the best days of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's August 17th?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's your birthday.
Indeed.
Now, on the 13th of December, which typically WWE, when it's Tribute to the Troops week, they do WWE week on USA.
Right.
And it's Raw, it's SmackDown, and they do the Tribute to the Troops show, which I think they're taping this week, as a matter of fact, but it's next week. But on the 13th, if you actually look on the schedule for USA, you will see that NXT is actually scheduled to play on USA on the 13th of December. Not much information, though. You don't know whether it's going to actually be...
Now, see, here's the thing. I was looking at the NXT schedule, upcoming schedule, and they had, like, you know how they'll have, like, the graphics, like a picture graphic with the date in the graphic? They had it listed as the WWE Network and USA.
So they do have USA listed?
I also saw one that had WWE Network and Sci-Fi listed.
Well, now, it used to be on Sci-Fi originally, before it became the developmental territory, mm-hmm. when it was the
I don't know if they're
the
doing
reality,
like,
show sort of thing.
These were for upcoming shows that I saw these. So I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to the dates because once I saw, like, the listings of what they were airing on, I was like, wait a second. But I saw USA and I saw Sci-Fi.
So that is very interesting. I'm wondering, are they going to move it to USA? But the only concern that I would have about moving, I mean, obviously it would get more eyes on the product, which is never a bad thing. But I would be concerned that if it did move off of being exclusive to the network and to USA Network, would Vinnie Mac want a little more creative control and not give it to Vince or to Triple H? Like, now Triple H runs it.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different product than Raw and SmackDown. Whereas if it's on USA, is Vinnie Mac going to get his hand on it? And then all of a sudden it's basically like Raw Junior or something.
I don't think so, because out of the four, like, it was a graphic that had four of them listed. Only one had USA and one had Sci-Fi. The other were network only. So I don't think, maybe this is just testing the water, or maybe because it's, you know, this is a holiday show and then maybe they're doing another one closer to another prominent holiday and that's the one that's going to be on Sci-Fi. Like, I don't know if they're going to start doing stuff like that, where they may do like a holiday show on a channel and then stick the rest of them stay with the network.
And I'm wondering also, like, if it does do well ratings wise, are they, you know, would USA consider picking it up? Because that's what happened with their version of ECW that I affectionately call WWECW. Originally they did a test for Sci-Fi, and it did good ratings, and then they ordered it as a full-on series. And, you know, you had WWECW for several years, until they replaced it with, of all things, NXT. But the reality show sort of NXT. Mm-hmm. And then when they had the name NXT replace the Florida Championship Wrestling name as the developmental brand, that's when NXT kind of changed to what it is now.
Yes.
But the original NXT was that reality sort of show where, remember, they had like the veteran with the rookie and...
Yeah, and they would show them training and they'd go through the whole camp and everything like that.
Right. And then
yeah.
they would vote whoever off and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was like a... What was it? Like a... What's that island? Or Survivor, but with wrestling.
Right, right. And they did the all-female one, the one season,
mm-hmm.
where, and matter of fact, that's the one, the all-female one is where April, AJ Lee, and what's her face, Caitlin,
mm-hmm.
and Naomi and all, that's the one that they all were in.
Yes.
And then that's when that Nexus faction that Wade Barrett was running, that's where that started on NXT. And that's actually where they got their name. Nexus was kind of from the whole NXT initials.
Yes.
So so it's been on TV before, but not in its current version.
Correct.
So I would love to see it on regular television, though.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be good. Because it's really the best show that WWE produces every week.
It really is.
So it's like, it would give a boost there. And, you know, money talks, bullshit walks. So if the money's right, WWE will certainly put the show on USA. So, I mean, we'll see. Because that was, like, the original plan for... ECW was, it was supposed to run just on WWE.com. It wasn't going to be on television. But once, you know, NBCU said they would pay money and put it on Sci-Fi, they were like, oh, what, money?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it went off of WWE.com and it was on Sci-Fi Channel.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. But I definitely did see dates that or listings that had one had USA and one had Sci-Fi. So you're saying you now see the listing for USA. So we'll see what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we shall see indeed. Hasn't been announced officially though. I haven't seen anything from WWE at all.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at anything official from WWE. I think I was looking at something officially from NXT. And not WWE. And that's where I saw it because I was just happened to be looking at the schedule and looking at upcoming matches and stuff like that. And I remember seeing it and I'm like, Sci-Fi, USA. It's like, what in the hell is it doing on there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see like on the app, normally they would announce things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't announce shit. So...
We'll see.
Know. Yeah. And they announce NXT stuff all the time, but they don't do any. This was just totally under the radar. But I guess they're going to wait till they get finished this week's TVs, and then they start pushing the whole WWE week on USA, I guess.
True.
So, we'll see. They're up to something, though.
They are.
Something indeed.
Mm.
You shall see. Now, also with the new female call-ups on SmackDown this week, I thought it was interesting that even though it was by shady means of basically a triple team. But in that six-woman tag match, you basically had Ruby Riott cleanly pin the SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte, which I thought, that's something from your first official match on television. They got you cleanly pinning the champion. And not only the champion, but the champ, like Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, the champ.
She has been the main female performer of Raw and SmackDown over the past couple of years. You know, I guess probably next to Alexa Bliss, she's been the woman. I mean, and I guess from a credibility standpoint, Charlotte Flair would certainly be above Alexa Bliss in that sense.
Yes, just the name alone.
Right. And she was the one who was in the first Hell in a Cell and got to be in the main event of a WWE pay-per-view. And, you know, so she had a lot more stature, I guess, than Alexa Bliss did.
Yes.
So to get a victory over her clean first night, even though it was, you know, all three of them kind of triple teamed her a little bit, but still, they didn't really use any weapons or anything.
Yeah.
I thought that was something. So maybe I guess they're trying to push Ruby Riott or at least, well, you really, if you're bringing these girls on and you don't want them to be looked at as a joke, they had to win.
Yes, that's true. They have to make them look strong.
Right. But they did the angle to, I guess, injure Naomi now.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Lynch was injured the other week so she can go shoot the movie. So, what are they, just injuring the whole damn roster now?
Probably. And then when they come back, they'll injure a couple other people, send them out to film shit.
I guess so.
It's like a rotating, like, oh, she broke her leg, but here she is in an action movie.
Yeah, I remember when Steamboat, when they did the whole angle with him and Randy Savage for the that led up to the WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he supposedly had the crushed larynx and couldn't talk and had to, you know, had to go learn how to re-speak and all this crazy shit they did. And then, you know, you saw him on what was the name of that show? It was about the kid that did Kung Fu and he teamed
Oh,
up
Karate with, Kid?
Or no, it was a TV show. The hell. He was a little boy and he teamed up with like a cop and the hell was the name of that show?
I know what one you're talking about. I haven't thought about that show in a long time.
It was... it was called Sidekicks.
That's it! Oh my god.
So, Sidekicks... Steamboat was a guest star on Sidekicks while he supposedly wasn't able to talk. And it was like, what the fuck? Like,
well,
I thought you couldn't talk.
Speaking of selling an injury, I forget. Remember the time that supposedly Triple H's arm was broken and stuff like that? Who broke it? I can't remember. Was it Brock Lesnar or The Undertaker or something?
Yeah, Lesnar.
Okay. So he came out with Mayweather for Mayweather's fight while that was going on, and he actually had his arm in a cast.
Oh,
and I
wow.
was like, damn, I was like, he's selling that shit, because I'm sure he knew tons of people were going to be watching that match.
Right.
He came out in the full-blown cast and everything. I was like, damn. I was like, he's selling it.
Yeah, and they may have thought they were going to do some cross promote, like maybe show the footage on WWE TV.
It's
so
possible.
Did,
yeah.
Yeah, he had to sell it.
But yeah, I'll never forget that because I saw him walking out, and I'm like, look at that. And then I saw the cast on him. I was like, oh, well.
Wow, this show I haven't seen this show. So It was Buck Rogers. The guy that played Buck Rogers on the old Buck Rogers show from the 70s or early 80s, whatever the hell it was. Gil Gerard. He was the cop. And the kid was Ernie Reyes Jr., who is now a 45-year-old man, mind you.
Wow.
Back then, he was just a kid. And he did Marshall. I remember this show. It, apparently, it only lasted one season, though, from 86 to 87.
I remember it being on and everything, but I was never a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I used to watch it quite often. My brother liked it because he was always into martial arts stuff, so he liked the show. So I used to watch it because he watched it. But I remember Steamboat guest starring on the show, and that was all pretty fun because it was right when he was written off the show with the crushed larynx. Then, of course, you know, it led to that epic encounter at WrestleMania, which, you know, at least we had an amazing payoff there.
Oh, hell yeah. Even if they did break kayfabe.
Right. But, cause they really sold that, like, ridiculous.
Oh, that it was ridiculous. Are you kidding me?
Macho Man hitting him in the throat with the belt.
And he's all, like, standing there with his hands on. He's like, ah, it's like...
Oh, he oversold the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah, he did. Go back. It's on YouTube. You got to go back and watch if people don't know what we're talking about. It's like he won an Emmy for acting or a Tony Award or something. He just... He went cray-cray.
Now, another notable program that he had in... WWE with Jake Roberts, he legitimately got knocked out.
Yes, that time was he
not
did.
A joke. Like when Jake DDT'd him on the floor, like he literally was knocked out.
Yeah, he was out cold.
Yeah. But
that's why you don't DDT people on the floor. Even if you know what you're doing, I still don't suggest it.
Right. And I'm not sure if back then they put the mats on the floor.
No, they didn't. It was concrete.
Right. And see, and I mean, we were...
Or if they did have mats, remember those bullshit gym mats that they would pull out and unfold when we were
right,
a little kid?
Right, the blue mats.
The blue or the red and the white or the blue and yellow, because you know you'd have them in school colors,
right.
Depending. They used to sometimes put those around the ring, because I remember Cactus Jack, obviously, back in the day, he was constantly doing crazy shit outside the ring, and those things would be all screwed up.
And see, we were so because, you know, obviously we were kids at the time, so you know, had no concept of reality and people actually getting hurt and shit. So we used to get mad when they put the fucking mats outside. We would be like, what are they, pussies? Why can't they just have the concrete floor and let somebody throw you a real hard concrete? Like, what do they need mats for? Like, we would really get angry when we would see the mats because, you know, we wanted people to get thrown a hard concrete. We didn't realize that, you know, you could seriously hurt somebody.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, that was some hardcore shit back then.
Right. I mean, like on Crockett, they never had mats out there.
They didn't.
What was it, Bill Watts? Federal, was it UWF Mid-South?
UWF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never had mats out, and World Class never had mats either.
No, not a lot of them had mats. It was very rarely you saw mats, but like I remember seeing them when Cactus Jack would wrestle. I think they would put them down just because he was doing some like stuff that you weren't seeing, like crazy stuff.
Well, once Ted Turner bought what would become WCW from the Crockett's, they started putting mats out there.
Yes. Well, then they also kind of started at that point in time, though they had started cracking down on some safety.
Yeah, and they were trying to be more kid-friendly and trying to copy WWE, basically.
Yes.
You know, and that's when, like, RoboCop saved Sting at the pay-per-view and all that crazy shit that used to disgust me. I mean, I was still scarred by that.
I see that. The way you said that. The venom in your voice.
RoboCop rescue Sting. Like,
really?
RoboCop. Like, it wasn't the actor, what was it, Peter Sellers for that? Not Peter Sellers. What the hell the fuck was the guy's name? Peter somebody. Whatever the hell his name was. It wasn't him. It wasn't the actor saving Sting. It was RoboCop. The actual character RoboCop saving Sting.
I mean, they did some pretty crazy shit. And it's Peter Weller.
Peter Weller, okay. So mm-hmm. I was close. At least it rhymed. Peter Seller rhymed with Peter Weller.
Yeah. Hey, you tried. It was close.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, they did some bad stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And RoboCop, that first RoboCop was pretty violent.
That first RoboCop was really violent. The first, I like the first RoboCop. The second one's not that bad. The third one's like, eh.
Then it got silly.
Yeah, but the first one's great. I can't even tell you how many times I've watched that. Second one, like I said, second one's not bad either. I did not see it because I liked the original.
The reboot was alright. I saw it. I actually went to the movies to see it. It was alright. It wasn't like great, but it wasn't like the worst either. It was okay.
Did you see Dredd?
With Stallone or the?
No, the newer one.
No, I saw the one with Stallone.
The newer one's actually very good. That I was pleasantly surprised with that one. Because I love the Judge Dredd character, and Stallone overacts the shit out of it.
Well, that's him.
No, I know, and it's like you watch it and you're like, oh my god, and then you watch this new one and it's gritty and gory and realistic, and it's like this dude's a fucking badass. This movie's fucking great.
Some characters you can't water down. I mean, even
no.
Spawn. Like, he's another one that, you know, you really need to do a very dark, violent movie if you're going to do Spawn.
Yes, you have to, you really do have to stray true to the character. And I think, in Dredd, it was very dark. Lots of innocent people get killed.
And even, Punisher. I haven't watched it yet, but the Netflix series, I hear it's great, and it's very violent.
Oh, my, yes. But he has.
I hear the body count's probably 9 million or something.
Yeah, but that's a character that's how and who he is. If you water it down, it's like, what am I watching?
Right. You can't do the Punisher unless you let him be the Punisher.
Right.
You know, you can't have a wise cracking, you know, Spider-Man sort of Punisher. Just
no, that doesn't work at all.
But then, you know, on the same token, it goes the other way, too, where a character like Superman doesn't work being dark, which Zack Snyder has proved time and time again.
Yes. Amen to that.
So, you know, it's just ridiculous. But I still have nightmares about Sting being rescued by RoboCop there.
That'll be first on the list when they come out with Mind Bleach. We will get that out of your brain. We will cleanse you. You will feel the spiritual cleansing.
Yeah. Now we're getting close to the end of the year, obviously. So time to start thinking about what were the best matches of the year and rest of the year and so forth and so on. You know, nothing official, but just throwing it out there. I know people are probably going to say the AJ Styles John Cena match from Royal Rumble when Cena won his 16th title. That was a really good match.
It was.
Certainly deserves to be nominated.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple good ones, though. There are a lot of indie ones that were good this year.
There were. A lot of stuff with New Japan.
Yes, really absolutely.
Okada and Kenny Omega for Japan.
Yes.
Fantastic series of matches. Omega, of course, fighting Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
In New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom.
It's Wrestle Kingdom 12, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I also liked the Pete Dunne Tyler Bate match for the UK Championship at the NXT TakeOver. I thought the one when Dunne wins the title, I thought that was a great match. To me, personally, I think that's the match of the year. I don't think it'll get the votes because, once again, not everyone watches NXT.
I think the New Japan stuff would get more votes than the NXT. Sad to say, because New Japan is just a little more out there.
Right.
It's like at least you can turn on the TV and watch New Japan or Ring of Honor.
True.
So, you know, it's tough because, there's quite a few NXT matches that should be in the running, but it's like, legitimately, have they gotten the saturation to be able to make sure everybody's seen them, everybody can chime in and say, yes, absolutely, this is the best one. You know, that's the hard thing to do.
But on that same token, Impact is on television, too.
That's true.
You can watch that.
Yep.
So, and we see where that goes every week, especially on Thanksgiving. I mean, you kind of got to give them a pass on Thanksgiving because it is a holiday. People are watching football, they're eating turkey and
passing out.
Yeah.
And going shopping, right.
By the time their show was on, a lot of people were probably out in the stores or whatever. But the ratings were abysmal for Impact. I mean, they had like a little over 100,000 people watch it on Thanksgiving, which is like the lowest rating they've ever gotten.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was Thanksgiving, so we got to give them a little bit of a pass that time. But
I mean, you do. It is. It's the time of the year. You know, it's tough. People are if they're busy or they're doing something, or, you know, it's hit or miss.
True. So, I just wanted to throw some matches out there that I did like. I mean, we might do something a little more formal where we actually give our opinions.
Do a top five, our personal top five.
Yeah. I mean, so I just gave one away because I did love that match with Bate and Dunne. I thought that was terrific.
Mm. So now you got to give us four more. But we'll have to save that for another night. We'll have to do that as like a send off to the year.
Right.
Maybe do top five wrestling, top five UFC or MMA.
See, the thing is, I haven't seen as much MMA as you have.
That's true.
So there's a lot of probably good fights, like those two fights from the pay-per-view this weekend.
Oh,
the either one.
Oh my God, you gotta see them. I mean, listen. You need to see those two fights, and you need to see the main event from last night. That you will not be disappointed in any one of those. That you will be on the edge of your seat the whole time. Like, that's how good they were. I love watching fights like that.
I mean, if it's better than Data 5000 and the late Kimbo Slice.
Oh, God.
I'm there.
Please, that was a joke.
They sent MMA back 30 years. Right?
Oh, they did. Oh, I was so mad. So mad. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's what happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this is true. And I guess also maybe, you know, who we thought of, Wrestler of the Year or Tag Team of the Year, female wrestler of the year as well. I mean, pretty interesting you know, really think about it. And what will we look at as the criteria, though? Will we look at it from a strict, like, if it was real sort of standpoint, like from a kayfabe standpoint, like literally based off of how many championships you won and how dominant you were?
Well, that's a hard thing because, like, not everybody's going for championships. Not everybody's got the availability to go for championships. It really should be based on quality of the match.
Right.
Like, among anything, it shouldn't matter whether there's a title involved or not. If the fight or the match is good and you're entertained and everybody's skillful and it works, then that's the main criteria.
Well, for match of the year, but I'm saying for, like, wrestler of the year or tag team of the year. Like,
I would say people that have been in probably, you know, some great matches, because there's not just going to be five great matches. I mean, there's been tens of thousands of wrestling matches throughout this year so far.
Right.
So I would say the people that have had the most significant matches.
That's fair. But what about, like, just overall influence on the business over the course of the year? And, you know, because you kind of have to look at other factors with wrestling.
You do.
It's not a legit sport, so you kind of have to look at the whole picture to really do a fair assessment, unless you want to do like a kayfabe sort of thing.
We could, because, I mean, that's, if you want to say, like, people that, you know, did the most for either charity or something like that, well, that's going to be one of the guys making money, like John Cena and shit like that. That's not going to be one of, you know, the people busting their ass to, you know, make money and get big and stuff like that. So, you know, it's, there's going to have to be some separation between the you know, the WWE people, like the top tier versus the indie tier.
Right. And even on the indie tier where you've got the Bullet Club who are just making mad money with their own shit.
Oh, like, yeah.
The Young Bucks and you know, all the whole Bullet Club in general, like, selling their shit at Hot Topic, it sells out.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw a club. I went to see if they had any of the shirts left, and they were sold out of one of the Bullet Club shirts. I was like, damn.
And I saw, like, I was at the mall a few days ago, and I saw, like, some teenage girls wearing Bullet Club shit.
Nice.
So I was like, when was the last time I saw teenage girls wearing WWE shit outside of a WWE show?
That's true. Yeah.
I can't tell you what. Like, it's not like back in the day when Austin and The Rock were big where you saw them all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's not like that anymore.
You know, if you go to a show, yeah, they're going to wear the shirts, but you don't really see it on a day-to-day basis. But the Bullet Club, they're wearing Bullet Club shit loud and proud, like, any time.
Nice.
So it has that cool factor that Vinnie Mac is probably hating on.
Oh, of course.
I don't know how
he is.
Because
that's money not in his pocket.
Right, and he's like, it's something I didn't think of.
Yep.
Which is why he said a stupid cease and desist for a hand gesture. For the too sweet hand gesture, he sent a cease and desist.
Oh, God. He's too
because
much.
Because he's hating on him.
He is.
It's like these guys are making fucking money hand over fist without the WWE machine behind them.
Yeah.
And they're doing the shit on their own, and they're making more money than they probably would if they were under a WWE contract.
100%.
And they have creative freedom to do their own character and do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And not be so controlled like the way WWE is now. You know, these guys can't even cut a promo without it being fully scripted for the most part for, I would say, 95% of the work.
Yeah.
It's only a few that they give, you know, a little leeway, like a John Cena or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Vinnie Mac doesn't like that. He's probably like, what?
Mm.
These guys are making money without me. And
oh, salty little Vinnie Mac.
So, yeah, so that's something for us to think about.
Absolutely.
And we'll get that together for the next couple of weeks and let you know what our thoughts were. For
absolutely. We'll have a nice plus little send out.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. So, that's it for us this week. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remember to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TonyLaneShow, which is the destination to hear the show live. And, of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and on Google Play. So, for Maris, I am Tony Lane, and we will see you next week.
Think Out Loud, the Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.